What's up, y'all? My name is Alan Sheriff, aka Alan the Sheriff of all things innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that I'm making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Quick updates, make sure you go down to sheriff.com and check out some of my Apex merch. Remember, help me help you make the world a better place. Let's get into it. So the first subject is science. Now, I read an article from Science Daily, and it talks about how the exploitation of African waters by foreign countries during the climate crisis could threaten the marines' sustainability. What already bothers me about this is the fact that Africa doesn't have the technology to monitor some of these fishing activities of other foreign countries. So that in and of itself already bothers the heck out of me. But let's continue on with the details. So basically, a new study used an automatic identification system, or AIS, satellite data from Global Fishing Watch to describe and characterize the spatial characteristics of African and foreign industrial fishing activities with these African EEZs, or African Exclusive Economic Zones. Now, African fisheries desperately need better information and data for management, given the difficulties each country already faces in surveilling fishing activities by foreign nations. The authors said that the AIS system can be utilized to help detect and characterize unreported activities in these EEZs, which can help with the response to IUU fishing, or illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing. The first thing that came to my head was, bruh, did y'all run out of tuna fish sandwiches yet? Like, y'all already ran out of tuna fish sandwiches and now you're running to the African continent to get some fish? Like, relax. Like, I mean, no, there's a chance they've probably been doing this for years. But, again, like I mentioned before, what bothers me the most is that, most African countries don't even have the technology to be able to monitor the fishing activities of some of these foreign fisheries. And that really bothers me because I think that the study itself is extremely helpful because it talks about how the AIS system has been able to identify certain aspects of the fishing process when it comes to foreign fisheries coming into African waters and fishing. And I know that some of these African countries have given access to their waters to foreign fisheries because out of necessity, you know, not because they really want to, but because out of necessity. They have a hard time feeding themselves and they haven't even been able to develop a certain standard of living for themselves. So it's like they're just giving away their waters just to get by. That's what bothers me a lot. But I hate the fact that, you know, I hate the fact that this has become such an issue as soon as we bring up the word climate change or, you know, a decrease in food production or, you know, the disruption of the global food supply chain. It's like once everyone's taken into consideration, it becomes a huge issue. And I don't like that. I think that we should focus on the fact that these foreign fisheries shouldn't be taking advantages of, you know, African countries' waters in general. I think that that in and of itself is an issue that we need to discuss. It needs some serious consideration. And I don't like the fact that, you know, with this AIS system, some of the information isn't accurate because some of the information that these foreign fisheries are reporting to some fishing activities of these foreign fisheries that they're reporting on is it doesn't coordinate well with the AIS information. And so that's why this issue needs to be addressed. I don't think it's fair that this is happening to the African continent. More responsibility needs to be taken here, and we need to focus on the issue itself. And the issue is foreign fisheries coming into African waters and taking from their waters, which is not only very disrupting to the global food supply chain, but all in all, just ethically wrong, you know? But anyway, let's get on to the next subject. The next subject is science. Now, I read an article from Digital Trends, and it talks about a German startup, Wingcopter, that's unveiled an autonomous delivery drone that can deliver up to 3 packages to multiple locations during a single flight. Now, drones are becoming stronger, quicker, and faster in every single day. And I hope that this isn't, you know, due to planned obsolescence, because I'm feeling like my drone is some trash right now. I spent like $1,000 on that thing, and I feel like I'm just getting left in the dust. I know it's a lot of money, but I haven't used it in a long time. And you know, it's some trash now. So it's some trash. Anyway, the article points out that it's capable of carrying payloads up to 13 pounds on trips of up to 47 miles on a single battery charge, or up to 68 miles with smaller payloads. The drone can zip between its delivery destinations at a top speed of 93 miles per hour. And the Wingcopter says that its new control station software allows for a single human operator to oversee a fleet of up to 10 Wingcopter 198 drones from anywhere in the world. And it's currently undergoing a certification process with the Federal Aviation Administration, and that it's yet to reveal the full cost to companies. Now, just my quick thoughts. I think that drones can help underdeveloped countries. I think that drones can help improve the face of underdeveloped countries from all around the world. Again, like, my personal thoughts on this is that drones help with instant accessibility. During, you know, this whole process of development that goes on within a foreign country, they have to have transportation infrastructure in order to be able to deliver goods and create access to certain resources. And with these drones, for me, it's kind of like they've skipped a step in the process, and they're one step closer to becoming quickly more advanced and on par with other developed other developed countries, because it just creates instant accessibility with these resources. And the fact that, you know, these drones can simply go faster and they can travel over any path is extremely exciting. I think of companies like Zipline, you know, that startup company in Africa that's delivering medical supplies to various villages across Africa. I also think about other good things that drones can do, you know, for countries. I think about the fact that, you know, some of these drones can deliver vaccines, or they can oversee certain areas with a lot of poaching that's going on and try to disrupt the activity of poaching in those areas, you know, or again, as I pointed out, these drones can deliver medical supplies. I feel like there's a lot of good that can come out of these drones. So I think that's really awesome. I hope this company continues to develop them out. I think they could be really helpful for underdeveloped countries. Yes, there's a lot of bad that can come with these drones, but we're not focused on the bad today. We're focused on the good. And this is the last subject. So the last subject is psychology. So I read an article from Neuroscience News, and it talks about a new study that says gossiping can be a rich and multifaceted form of communication. It can help to build social connections and improve indirect understanding about the world. What in the English language is this? Like, like, it just seems like it's an articulative way of giving the school bully an excuse to tell everyone in school who your crush is. Like, hey, Alwyn has a girlfriend. Her name is Stacy. Be like, shut up, Billy. What do you mean? I don't have to shut up. Study says the gossiping is good for you. Not that type of gossiping. But nah, yeah, let's continue on with some of the details. The article points out that gossip is not necessarily spreading rumors or saying bad things about other people, but can include small talk in person or online, such as having a private chat during a Zoom meeting. And the findings from the study illustrated how gossip enables individuals to learn from the experiences of others when direct observation is not feasible. One of the authors of the study is quoted, "By exchanging information with others, gossip is a way of forming relationships. It involves trust and facilitates a social bond that is reinforced as further communication takes place." I think I want to speak on this a bit more extensively because I see I'm running out of time, but I'm going to take my time with this because I think this is a really important, I feel like this is a really important subject to stay on. I think that gossiping, as talked about in the article, not the bad type of gossiping, obviously, with the example I used earlier that ignore that example, but not. I think that gossiping is an important, I think it speaks to the philosophy of what it truly means to be a human being. I think putting yourself out there and showing people that you're welcoming and that you're social and that you're trustworthy and that you're willing to have open dialogues to not only build conversations with individuals, and you also want to potentially develop a relationship with an individual. It could be a stranger, or you could further be trying to develop a relationship with a with a family member or friends, I think wanting to be able to take that first step as a sign of trust in creating that dialogue and that conversation with a human being is a very beautiful thing. And I think it speaks to the philosophy of what it means to be a human being, to be able to engage and socialize with others. I think this is really important to be able to understand that, you know, although you may be extremely introverted, or you just may not enjoy conversation in general because you don't like that kind of spontaneity, which I understand because some people are like that. I get that, which is why I'm not even like, which is why this isn't even a necessity. I'm just saying for me, it's really helped. And I think that it goes to show just how much you can continue to learn and grow and develop yourself as a social human being. And I think it's a very important way to practice, you know, putting yourself out there is this healthy type of gossiping. I do it all the time. You know, when I'm in Zoom meetings with coworkers, like we could literally be in a 30-minute meeting. And for the first about 5 minutes, I'm randomly talking about how, you know, I infected my finger the other day and how it's, you know, driving me crazy. But at the same time, putting a joke at the end of it. And now we're just laughing and randomly talking about, you know, our fingernails and whether or not we go to get manicures and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and it just keeps progressing into this whole another conversation where we're just like, we're constantly interacting and engaging with one another. And I think that's really healthy. I think that gossiping can be really healthy if you do it correctly. You know what I mean? Don't say nothing crazy. You know, like don't act like you can have a conversation with your friends about how you feel like one of your friends doesn't shower every single day and think that that's a good conversation starter. Like, if you expect to develop a relationship with that, you're going to destroy the relationship. Yeah, so Johnny's been smelling pretty funny for the last couple days. Shut up, Mark. Like, I don't think you want any of that in your life. But nah, think about it. What's the worst someone could say? You know, try and open your mind. What's the worst someone could say if you really try to start a random conversation with them in the streets? Like, oh, get away from me, you weirdo. Why are you randomly having conversation with me? No, like, no. Like, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, that person's probably going to say hi to you back or, you know, say something funny as well. And if they don't like it, that's fine. You know, some people don't like the spontaneity. But I think that, you know, if you have a lot of anxiety like me, or, you know, you're going through a lot and you have a hard time socializing and bonding with people, I think gossiping can be a really awesome exercise. So I would encourage anybody to get involved in it. But yeah, that's my extensive take on the whole subject. I'm kind of running over time here, but hey, word of the day or last minute thoughts, Apexes, get out there, go gossip, go practice, you know, having conversations with people. It can be about anything. Here's a conversation starter. You could talk about, you can ask a friend whether they believe that SpongeBob is a grown man or just a kid with responsibilities. Like, it obviously won't be able to get to the answer because he can't have a conversation with SpongeBob himself about that. But it's a conversation that'll last until the end of eternity. Until the end of eternity. But nah, thank you all so much for checking out my podcast. I greatly appreciate it. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe and hit that bell for notifications. And if you're watching this on any of my podcast hosting sites, make sure you either hit that follow or subscribe button. Also, don't forget to go to alanthesheriff.com to check out some of my Apex merch. And if you're not interested in that, you can hit either one of my subscribe buttons on my website. One subscribe button will get you early access to all of my content, and the second subscribe button will get you it will get you a lot of exclusive background content that you've never seen before, and that's to come in the following weeks. So thanks so much for checking out my podcast. I greatly appreciate it, and I will see you all on the next episode of the ATS podcast.